Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, I've had enough of that shit. Joining me is the All Marine Radio head chef. He doesn't need a big intro. A man who needs no introduction, Kim Holmes. What's going on?
Good morning, everyone.
You're a Dodger fan, yes?
Oh, hello, baby. You're singing my song.
All right. But the four best teams in the playoffs are all in the American League.
I know that.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I can name two players maybe on Milwaukee's team. I can name three on Colorado's team. I can name one, maybe two on Atlanta's team, and I can name a bunch on the Dodgers team. So it doesn't mean that it's just you don't see that very often. But the teams in the American League, right? First of all, Houston. Awesome young team. The Red Sox, you know, have the best team in baseball. The Yankees have a great young team that have played well the last 3 weeks. And then you have Cleveland that has three starting pitchers over 200 strikeouts for the first time in baseball history. So, So anyway, if you're a sports fan, the fall and the spring are great because you have somebody in the playoffs, somebody starting. The NHL got going this week. College football is going. We don't talk about the NFL. I've got a couple of interesting emails about that. Like, you guys just clicked it off. It's like, it offends me. It offends me. And so, yeah, it wasn't that hard to click off. Just clicked off the NFL.
But because we don't talk about the NFL, they clicked us off?
No. Somebody was commenting. You guys are all, like me, a lifelong NFL watcher and just clicked it off. And the answer is yeah. Yeah, it offends me.
Just say no, baby. Just say no.
Yeah, and what really irritates me about the NFL is they have a marketing machine from hell, right? They have every opportunity to sit down together and work and create a mechanism that their players can be socially active, and they don't have to do that ridiculous stuff on Sunday. It hurts their business, and so they need to do. You can't figure that out over the course of 3 years, for God's sakes. Then get out of my face. I'm sick of that shit. So
yeah, it just turns you off.
Yeah, Goodell is lame, in my opinion. I don't like the guys who do it, but Goodell, he's supposed to be the leader of that. He's the leader of the owners. He and the leader of the players, if they look at their TV numbers, they should say, this is bad for business, man. Let's sit down and figure it out. Let's find a way to create something where our guys can have a voice socially in this country. And we'll also, I mean, God, it's not like they don't get covered, for God's sakes. So anyway. Let's see. What was I? I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you.
Oh, good. Oh. I like it when you pick my bone.
Okay, so last night, Patrick comes home, and he looks at me and he says, what are we doing for dinner? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, what are we doing for dinner? Because that's what I would say. Here's what he says. What are we doing for food? And I said, I think I want to have a steak tonight. He looks at me and he says, what? Well, that means one of us has to go to the store, okay? And nobody wants to do that. So we both go to the store. So one of the things I've learned about steak buying is I don't buy anything except if it's from a butcher, okay?
Yeah.
Either the butcher counter, if I go to a supermarket, I'm going to buy the better meat. So we go there last night at about 8 o'clock, and the little butcher kiosk in this supermarket doesn't have any ribeye. So I'm looking for the best cut of meat that's out, and that they were fillets, right?
Yeah, good.
So come home, we get fillets, we get asparagus wrapped with bacon,
Yeah.
Which, which I'm going to tell you was awesome. And then we get some zucchini, and we bake the zucchini with garlic salt, garlic parsley salt, and then Parmesan cheese over the top of it, which is delicious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And so the filet, I've never cooked a filet. Okay. So I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little bit nervous about it. So I put it on, and I have the meat thermometer on. I sear it on both sides. First of all, the green egg is a incredible device. Honestly, it is the best grill in the world. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Because of the elongated nature of the grill, you never burn anything. Even with bacon grease dripping down into the charcoal, right? You, nothing gets burned. So I sear it on both sides. I'm watching the temperature, right? The filet's done at 120. And I take them off. I wrap them in foil, put butter on top of them.
So I'm
doing this right. Patrick says, this might be the best steak I've ever had in my life. So the filet was pretty awesome. And I don't know if it's not a better choice than the ribeye. What say you to that?
I say if you want the best cut of meat, the most tender, it's the filet mignon. If you want one of the most flavorful cuts of beef and almost as tender, it's got more fat content, it's the ribeye. And I switch, sometimes the ribeye is too big for me, too much meat. I know I'm saying that, but I'll fall back to a filet and do, I used to do an 8-ounce filet, now I'm down to a 6-ounce filet.
What?
But the filet, seared like you did, high temperature and flip it once and, get to 120 in the center, cover it with foil, let it rest, let the juices spread throughout the filet, and then you're in the front row. By putting a pat of butter on top when you wrapped it in foil is brilliant. I recommend doing a compound of butter that we've talked about many times here on the show.
Right.
And you have plenty of compound butter recipes, and I would put one of those pats about at least a good quarter of an inch and about the size of a half dollar on top of the butter when you wrap it in foil. And then when you take it out, the butter will have matriculated all around the steak. And then you take the drippings in the bottom of the foil and you pour them over the steak again. And then you're doubly in the front row.
Whoa.
So you nailed it last night. So is that the bone you got to pick with me?
Yeah, the filet might be better, you know. And what I'm getting from you is that it's okay to have two favorites.
Oh, absolutely. You have to float back and forth because. You have two spectacular options there, and it depends on, I want the beef, then you want a ribeye. I want flavor, and with your side dishes that you made last night, filet is perfecto mundo.
Let me just tell you.
You nailed it. You and Patrick hit a home run last night.
Patrick didn't hit shit. And then Patrick.
Patrick. How did I know that was going?
No, he did contribute, though. He bought some big shrimp, which were good. And he makes a pretty good shrimp cocktail. A little horseradish into some shrimp cocktail. Blah, 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 blah. And he's the one that said, hey, we should get this bacon wrapped asparagus. And let me tell you, bacon wrapped asparagus with the bacon pretty well done. Awesome. Nothing tastes like bacon. It was awesome. And I will tell you this, the baked zucchini is to die for. Honestly, it's, and you know what?
Parmesan cheese on it, you nailed it.
Yeah. The best part of the meal is that it's easy as hell to make. It's like the hardest thing you do is put the charcoal on. That's the most difficult part of the meal because grilling is easy. And I will tell you this, I'm always, always, always leery of like cuts of beef that are that thick, like the filet is. And these things were probably 2 inches thick. And
they should be.
I would have overcooked it had I been left to my own devices. I will say this, though. I now believe I've graduated to the point where I need the $90 digital meat thermometer with multiple probes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. That's good because then you can probe several fillets.
Yeah.
But lately, in the last few years, you've been in the front row since you got your meat thermometer. So you got game with that.
Well, let me tell you, I only because I learned the hard way, and I'll tell you where it really paid dividends was Steak in the Bag, one of your favorites.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
It's so good. But you have with Steak in the Bag, there's several things you have to have with it. And that is the
carrot casserole
and a baked potato, a loaded baked potato, and cherry pie for dessert. And you can't forget the cherry pie for dessert. And Beth doesn't make it. She's out of the house now. She makes a great cherry pie, but not as good as Susan does.
Susan, my ex-wife, makes it. Makes it better than my mom. Her crust is better than my mom's crust. What?
Oh, God.
It's flaker. Yeah.
And any baker out there will know that it doesn't matter what the filling is, it's how flaky the crust is, and, it's not a soggy crust.
Right.
You kind of have to pre-bake it a little bit before you put the filling in. And Susan does it as well as anyone.
No, yeah, Susan crushes it. And I try all the time, and every once in a while I'll make it good, but Susan makes it better than me, and it bothers me. It genuinely bothers me. She thinks it's funny. Let me give you some price points here. The Tenergy Solus FT01 Smart Food Digital Thermometer with 6 stainless steel probes, Bluetooth wireless app, right? $57.99. So for $60, you can get that. And, you can get that. And so every steak has its own probe in it, right? And they're all color coded. So the yellow one is now at this temperature. The red one is now at this. Now, I would tell you, if you're cooking them side by side and they're the same thickness, they ought to be pretty close. And that's the way I do it. However, when you're cooking a thicker cut of meat, not a bad idea to have multiple probes. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, like if you're cooking a 2-inch ribeye and you want the medium rare to rare in the heart of the ribeye, and maybe the outside you want a little bit more towards the medium side, then you should have several probes in that monster ribeye or porterhouse or T-bone, whichever one of those three you
use. There's also the one I have is called the iGrill Mini Digital Meat Thermometer made by Weber. Okay. So Weber, a big name, obviously, in grilling. You can get the, four meat probes for $116, or you can get a 3-probe for $82. So it tends to be a little bit more expensive. But again, I would tell you this, get out there and shop for it because, you can't screw it up. And again, like I said, stake in the bag, the premise behind stake in the bag was this. You had to get, right, this, you had to know, you had to have a thermometer in your oven, so you had to know your oven really well. You had to get a thick enough cut of meat, okay, and then you followed the directions. Because once the steak goes in the bag, there's no way for you to optically check it or anything like that. So if you don't meet those parameters, if the cut of meat is a little bit thinner, right, you got, you know, you have to, so, and the digital meat thermometer has a wire that's about maybe 2.5-3 feet long. Yeah. And so it comes out, and then you sit the transmitter next to the oven on the counter, and you just plug it in, and boom, there you have it. There you have it.
And everyone, when you cook steak in a bag, and you're cooking the whole tenderloin, which is about a 5 to 7 pound fillet, it's a monster fillet mignon, and you have the butcher trim it up and take all the silver skin off, and it tapers to a real fine point, not a fine point, but
kind of.
It's small, and it's a monster round at the head of the tenderloin. So you want several thermometers in that. If you can get the perfect medium rare to medium rare, down to medium. Everybody's happy.
Everybody happy.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's what we want to do here.
Make people happy.
Radio kitchen. Make everyone happy.
We happy, happy, happy. That's what we want. Okay, I have to say, I'm looking at something, and if you want to know, is the steak in the bag recipe and the carrot casserole recipe? I don't know that those are on the website. So the way you check is you go to the blog, and you'll see a picture of the chef Kim standing at his bar in his white lab coat, looking like a big time chef, and with all the bottles behind him. And you'll see something that says All Marine Radio Head Chef's Cookbook, Kim and Beth Holmes. If you click on that, right, it'll take you to a bigger picture of Kimmy. And click on the thing that says click here. That's how you know where to click. And then it says click here, ... bon appetit. Yeah, that's what they say in France, okay? That means good eating. But I'm looking through the chef's recipes, and I don't know that I see carrot casserole in there. Maybe I'll write my note to self. I'll have to install Kathleen's recipes.
I think you should. I really think you should.
Yeah, I'm looking, and they're done alphabetically. I don't see steak in the bag. And let me look under the C's to see if carrot casserole's in there. I thought I posted them, but I'll have to check. But in any case.
They're both award-winning dinners, but you have to do it with the probe. The steak in the bag.
Yeah, steak in the bag. Or else you're rolling the dice.
When I had it the first time at your apartment, Beth and I, it was medium rare to medium, and it was freaking delicious. I thought, oh my God.
Kim, yeah.
I knew everything about steaks.
Literally.
I did.
Losing his mind at the dinner table. It was awesome. It was awesome. We lived in what's known as the Garden View apartment. Okay, that means it's down in the basement, but you have a window. You have a window that is like right at grass level, so you look out of your window and you're looking at dirt. So one night we got into a discussion at the dinner table about whether we were poor or not. So we just moved up to North Dakota, and. You know, I can't remember what we were talking about. Are we poor? And then the kids are all saying, we're not poor. And Susan and I are saying, yes, we are. And they're saying, no, we're not. Oh, we're poor. Oh, yes, we are. We're poor. How many of your friends live in apartments? And the kids stop. How many of your friends squeeze everybody into one car? We're poor? Yep, we're poor. But we're happy. We're having a good time, aren't we? Well, yeah, but are you sure we're poor? Are you sure we're poor? Yeah, we're poor. We're poor. Yeah. So actually, it was kind of a funny conversation. All right. So are you picking your Dodgers to go to the World Series? I don't like the Dodgers. I have to tell you, I don't like them. I don't like their manager. I don't like what they did in the World Series last year. So I'm kind of anti-Dodger. I don't voice it as much when you're around because I don't want to hurt your feelings because you're a lifelong Dodger fan.
You cannot hurt my feelings because I'm still pissed off about last World Series. I have attitude about the manager. However, I think in spite of that guy that, the Dodgers are going to be there because the Cubs lost. And there's not a lot of competition in the National League, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
All the power is in the American League. I expect the Dodgers to get to the World Series.
Whoa.
But once again, Roberts will find a way to fuck it up. Sorry. I mean, to lose. I'm not too bitter, am I, Matt?
No. Well, you know, it's
but I'm sitting here wearing my Dodger hat too.
Are you?
Which I just threw away in the corner. I got the.
And you.
It's on the floor. I'll get it when I leave. Yeah. Leave the house to go to cardio rehab. I'm very sensitive for a big guy.
Well, we love our sensitive big guys. What about What about, here's a cooking question. Hey, Mac, I have a question for the chef about steak seasoning. Does he have any basic seasoning that he uses? You know, this question gets asked on a relatively regular basis, and you're going to be disappointed. Kim?
Well, no, it's not a disappointment.
Yes, it is.
Everyone has their own steak blend, or they call it magic dust.
Right.
And you can make it up.
And there's a million of them now, right? There's so many rubs and stuff.
The best thing to do is what your favorite spice. You like garlic powder. You like onion powder. You like Lowry's seasoning salt. You like black pepper. Whatever you want to do, you mix that together in a bowl. And then you rub it on your steak or your roast.
No, you misunderstand.
It's salt and pepper.
What?
That's it for me, salt and pepper.
Whoa. Old Vanilla Kim, salt and pepper.
It's just the way it is. I like salt and pepper on my steaks.
All the exotic rubs out there, and you're going salt and pepper on me.
Yep, I am. But that's why I've said.
What's your favorite ice cream?
It's
vanilla.
My favorite ice cream is from an ice cream shop in Florence, Italy. A gelato called Fig Ice Cream.
Fig?
Fig. Made with fresh figs.
Hmm.
That's my favorite ice cream in the world.
Sounds disgusting.
But I haven't had it in about it's been 10 years since I've been to Florence.
Give us an ice cream, that can't be your favorite. Give us something. Give us your go-to ice cream if you're going to go have local ice cream. What do you go have?
I will have a rum raisin ice cream.
What? Jesus Christ!
Or a butter pecan ice cream.
You and my mom. My mom would have loved you.
And if I'm lucky and they serve it in cups,
yes,
then I would get a little scoop of each one. if you must know.
we used to go to, back in the day, right? We used to go to Baskin and Robbins. My mom used to love that place.
I did too.
She would get pralines and cream.
Yes.
Ugh, I was like, what is that? Michael, what do you want? I want vanilla with chocolate sauce. Michael, they have 31 flavors. I don't want pralines and cream, Mom, okay? I'm not that kid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not him. My mom would have loved you. Oh, Kim, come here. How many cups do you want? Do you want any other Tutti Frutti tastes?
No, it's not Tutti Frutti, but I got used to eating different flavors when I lived in Italy, in Florence, because they give you different size cups, and you can have a scoop of this, and they have like paddles that they rub it against the side and they pack it in the cup.
Right.
And you can have melon ice cream. You have chocolate. There was a chocolate with a whole bunch of, it had, I don't know, eclair stuff in it, and whipped cream is called Bongo Bongo.
Oh, there you go. Got your name on it.
Oh, Jesus, that was good. That's the chocolate. When I wanted a chocolate hit, I went to the Bongo Bongo. But and at Beverly's, they had, ice cream of the season, the flavors of the season.
None of that bothered me. None of that got me off of vanilla with chocolate syrup. Now, if I have to just go to the, if I just have to get it from the store, I go between Neapolitan and vanilla. Those are my ice creams.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, it's the beauty of ice cream, and that's why they have 31 flavors or however many thousand they have today.
Yeah.
What hits your fancy that day?
That's
what ice cream's all about.
Whatever floats your boat, right?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Interesting. Now, I just find it interesting. We get that question a lot because there are about a gazillion rubs and different things that you can put on steaks. And so people are curious, like, well, what does the chef say? And he says, salt and pepper. What?
And speaking about your mom's favorite ice cream.
Vanilla boy.
Vanilla
boy.
Yeah. They had Häagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
A month ago, I bought a little pint of pralines and cream.
No way. What does it taste? What does it
taste? Unbelievable.
Here we go.
And I thought, oh, Jesus, good. But
really?
I like the combination too.
I never like, for instance, things I don't like. I don't like bananas, but I like banana bread. I don't like pecan pie. It just looked disgusting to me. I didn't care for it. My mother loved it. I don't like pumpkin pie. My mother loved that too. But the rest of her cookings, I enjoy. And she always raised me to try everything, so I do, in honor of my mother. Some of the things she made, I did not particularly care for. My mother made a lobster bisque to die for. I would sit there and eat the whole bucket by myself.
Oh, it's spectacular. And you get the stock, folks. You get the stock by drop a lobster, a whole lobster, and then you take it out and take the meat out, set it aside, and then you throw the shell. You break the shell. You throw the shells back in, and that's your stock to give you that lobster flavor base. And that's how you make a good lobster bisque.
Let me tell you, it was literally to die for. Especially if you buy.
Do you have that recipe?
I do. That good fresh crab.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Here's another email for you, Mac. Since we're talking about new cooking technology. Does the chef have anything that he uses in his kitchen that's new that he would say, hey, you know, you should check this out? Yeah, there's all kinds of new cooking technologies with the explosion of with the explosion of cooking shows and whatnot. Is there anything that you've embraced in your kitchen?
Well, there's something that we got as a gift, and it's called a sauvet.
Sauvet?
Yeah, and you have to have one of those food sealers, and you seal your meat, the chicken or fish, and you put this sauvet in a pot of water on the stove.
Oh, somebody just sent us an email about that, and we ridiculed it.
Yes, we did, because it takes forever.
No, you didn't.
When I want to eat the steak, I don't want to wait 3 hours for it to be tender stuff. But one of the things that I recommend that we use all the time, it's a microplane, and it's a small grater that has a handle on it, and they have different width of graters up to a foot long. And you can, that's how we grate our garlic now. And so you don't have to dice it or chop it, and it gives you more garlic flavor. And then that probably would be the newest piece of equipment. And then
the grater?
It's just a little, you know, the normal grater is the four-sided grater.
Right.
With the handle on the top and right. The big holes, the medium holes, and the little microplane.
Right.
Slices.
Right.
But this is a fine grating for like garlic and stuff, and we eat a lot of garlic here, and we use it all the time. That's probably about it. Otherwise, you know, I use my knives, and I just don't get too fancy with it. You know, I've had every bit of equipment that for slicing and stuff, but it's just nothing new. I mean, you watch the food shows, Mac. And the equipment is so technical.
Yeah, no kidding. Let me ask you this. We talked about wine corks, though. You know, there's ways to store wine now that make sure you suck the air out of it so you can preserve wine longer. You've embraced that, yes?
Big time. And those can be easy for any human being to use. Some of them now, they have these wine bars that it's called a Helix machine, and you put this nozzle in the bottle, and then you can pour glasses out of it, and you can do up to 20, 25 glasses of wine you offer. And the machine itself costs anywhere from $3,000 to probably $20,000. But, this is the restaurant application.
Yes.
But you can use a bottle of wine for 3 weeks. Well, if you don't do that,
that's amazing.
You've got vinegar in about 3 days.
That's amazing.
So.
I'm sure people hear that and go, you got to be kidding me.
No, and they have home versions for 1 or 2 bottles of wine if you're a serious
a bottle of wine keeping for 3 weeks is unheard of.
Yeah, well, that's how these machines, that's the technology today. And you can't tell that the bottle wasn't just open. It's pretty remarkable how they do it.
Yeah, that is remarkable.
And it impresses the shit out of me. And when you go out to a restaurant and you don't want a bottle of wine, if they have one of these machines, you can be guaranteed that your wine is going to not be, turn into vinegar. It'll be fresh as can be. So you know, that's a good option for people who just, you know, want to maybe have a white wine with their fish and red wine with their meat. You know, it's great. It's really cool.
You know, listen to this. I came home last night, and I'm not normally this way. And I bought some salad dressing. I unscrewed the top to take off the seal. And the seal was partially broken.
Yeah.
Now normally I would rip it off and just throw it in the garbage and like whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. I ripped it off and I thought screw it, and then I thought no. What happens if Colleen eats this and gets sick? And so, are you a maniac about seals?
Seals, here's the trick to seals. If you open something, or are you getting ready to open a can, and the can is bulged, or the lid in the glass jar is bulged, And when you open it, it pops. That means throw the son of a gun away.
Take it back.
Because it's spoiled and you're going to hurt yourself if you eat it. But always, if in your case, I certainly would have smelled it and put my pinky in there and tasted it.
But how does a seal get disturbed? So that's what weighed on my mind. So I rip it off, you know, I throw it in the garbage, I put it in the refrigerator, and I'm like, screw it. Then I get to thinking to me, like, how does a seal get disturbed once it's on a what's it in like a salad dressing container, and it's got a seal on top and it's got the lid on top? How would a seal get disturbed? Now, in my mind, I think, well, maybe somebody dropped it, then somebody stomped it, and the pressure, like, disturbed the seal.
No, it probably happened when they were packing it and putting seals on, and the machine didn't put it on all the way. Or there was a little tear in the seal.
No, there was no tear. There was no tear.
Little round seal.
Yeah, there was
glued right on, and then they screw the top on, right?
Yeah, there was no tear in the seal. It was just partially, like, halfway off. And so it's not me. Like, look, I eat food off the floor, okay?
Yeah,
dirt doesn't bother me, okay?
No.
So I don't, like, but then I thought, you know what, maybe somebody put some ricin in there, like they tried to do with the Secretary of Defense this week. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it could have been the fact that there wasn't glue all the way around the seal.
Yeah, so what do you do? Do you normally eat it, or do you throw it away, or take it back?
I would take it back.
Yeah, that's all right. I had the receipt out, and I'm like, that's what I'm doing.
Hey, the seal wasn't sealed. Exchange it for one that is.
That's what I'm doing.
And the grocery store should say, fucking A, Bubba.
You know they are. They don't care. They're just, look, I'm an hourly employee. You can take whatever you want.
They're going to send it back, or they're going to throw it in the trash, but not at your expense.
Right.
It should not be at your expense.
No, the customer is always right.
Hello.
What? Here's another email for the chef. Good morning, Mac. Happy Friday. Since we're all heading into fall and it's getting colder, what are some of the chef's favorite comfort foods? I like pot roast. Is pot roast a comfort food?
It sure in the heck is.
What is both your
pot roast,
favorite?
Carrots, potatoes, onions. You darn right it's a comfort food. we, by the way, got snow last night.
What? You know what? I saw that in the middle of the Milwaukee game. They had to close the roof. It started snowing.
It's snowing. It's got snow here.
You like the snow. You like the snow, though.
Oh, I love it, but I don't move well in it anymore. But Beth went out, and we started talking about, and we're going to do a cream vegetable soup with hot chili peppers.
Ooh.
That we bought and froze, sliced up and froze, and then we're going to make our own sausage. Buy some organic pork and mix it with fennel. We chop, grind up fennel and pepper and garlic and salt and pepper. And then we make our own sausage and we'll add that to the cream soup. Yeah, we're going to make a cream soup for the weekend because it's freaking cold here, baby.
Hold on. Comfort food. So what is a comfort food? What does that mean?
Like a soup, a warm, hot soup with some substance in it, whether it's meat or chicken, or lobster bisque, but with lobster biscuits, you gotta have chunks of lobster in there. Clam chowder, split pea soup with ham, as you know, that's our favorite. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't have a comfort food. M&M's are my comfort food.
Well, you're in the comfort food M&M spot.
Yeah, peanut M&M's are my comfort food. Yeah, I don't. That email was by the same guy who emailed Mike and I. Mike, who comes on in the third hour, Mike's a bit of a foodie. He emailed us about this water cooking stuff, and we asked, and we shit all over it.
Well, you know my wife's niece and her husband use it all the time.
Oh my God.
They'll start something when they go off to work, and it'll be done when they come home from work, and it's just sitting in this pot of water on the stove with this unit in it that controls the temperature, you know, low and slow, and then they might brown it off on the skillet or in the oven to finish it, and they love it. They use it all the time.
Sounds so lame.
No, it's not. It is for me, but I certainly understand why people use it. We go to a restaurant.
Why do people use it? What's the point? I don't get it. Like, is it healthier?
It makes more tender dishes. The meat, the chicken, the fish. It's melts in your mouth. It's very good, but it's very time consuming how to cook it, how to use it.
Yeah,
that's all.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm anti. What do you call that shit?
It's called a sorbet.
Sorbet?
Don't ask me to spell.
I thought that was ice cream.
No, that's a sorbet. There's a V in there.
There is?
A couple of E's. I don't know, man. I'm embarrassed. You know, I know I'm the chef, but you know, I'm also from a different era now. I never thought I'd say that.
It's
showbiz, baby. That's the way it is. And I respect, I love it when they deconstruct a strawberry. God bless them. But there's, you know, there's nitrogen involved. It's chemists. You got to go to take chemistry now.
What?
To be a chef, it's very, very high tech and eating the food, I love it, but preparing it, it's over my head, and I'll be the first one to admit it.
Oh, poor baby.
No, I love it because I can eat it. I just don't have to do it. That's the art form about getting old, baby. You can piss and moan all you want, and you eat what you want. Now that I'm not in the business, but I used that shit when in the restaurant when I was before I sold it. I said, when I turned 70, I said, boy, this is my timing is perfect.
getting too complicated. Everybody coming in with all their crazy. Do you serve this? Do you serve that? No. We cook food here.
I'm a vegan. I'm a vegan. I'm gluten free. I'm lactose intolerant. Yes, I can do that.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And
what do you want? What do you want?
We did celery stock. We just did whatever they asked me to do. I had gluten-free pastas. I did vegetarian dishes. Lactose intolerant. I had desserts that didn't have lactose in it. And you have to accommodate everybody in the restaurant business. At least I felt that way. But didn't mean that I liked it. But sure in the hell, since they were paying for it, I busted my chops to please them and to do what they want. That's just the way it goes now. That's all. No big deal.
All right. You want to hear the odds on who's going to win the World Series?
Okay. Yeah.
Dodgers are 9-2.
Oh. 9-2, huh? Buckle my shoe, baby.
Well, I'm looking at one thing. It says
who's the fave? Who's the fave to win the World Series?
It says the
Houston?
Let's see. Odds to win the 2018 World Series. The Astros 4-1. Dodgers 4-1. I'm sorry. The Astros 4-1, Red Sox are 4-1, Dodgers 7-1, Indians 8-1, Yankees 8-1, Braves, A's, Brewers, Rockies all go from 10-1 to 16-1, with the Rockies being the lowest. So the favorites are the Astros, Red Sox, and then behind that is the Dodgers. So they would rank number 3. The Indians and Yankees are both at 8-1, coming in 4. So I don't, but let's see. You have to really put the Red Sox as a favorite, but I don't think the Red Sox have issues going into these games. Chris Sale, one of their aces, and the guy who will pitch today, he's had a sore shoulder. He hasn't pitched more than 5 innings, and he hasn't thrown above 91 miles an hour. So, he hasn't pitched in like a week, and so we'll see what he's got. And so, but the Red Sox have a big question. David Price has not won a game in the postseason. They're your 1 and 2 guys, and then you go back to Yankee Stadium. So I think that the Red Sox have had an incredible season. They have two things working against them: their starting pitching, right? Is at the front end is weak. The best guy they had I've seen him shut down the Yankees a bunch of times is a guy named Nathan Eovaldi, and he's like their fifth starter, but he shoves it up the Yankees' ass with regularity. So I think the Red Sox come with a couple asterisks with them, and so it'll be interesting to watch and see how those asterisks play out. The Yankees are starting a guy named Jay Happ that they got specifically because when he pitched with Toronto and with the Yankees, he shoves it up the Red Sox ass. He's a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. So the Red Sox have a couple footnotes. The Astros to me are legit at 4-1. I would rank the Red Sox a little bit behind them in spite of the Red Sox phenomenal season. The other thing the Red Sox have going for them against them is karma. The gods of sports only allowed Secretariat to go wire to wire, okay? Nobody else goes wire to wire. And the Red Sox are attempting to do that. So we'll see if they're able to do that as the postseason approaches. I don't like the Dodgers. I think that they have like too much computer things going on, and they do stupid shit. And I would say that they would be in my rankings. They would go Astros. I would say Cleveland number two. The Red Sox number three because of their question marks. I would put the Yankees in front of the Dodgers because the Dodgers the Dodgers closer has given up more home runs than I don't know who in the last 3 weeks. He had some kind of heart condition, and he had some kind of heart condition, and then he came back and he gave everybody else a heart condition. That guy gives up home runs like it's cool.
Well, I think the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series, but I don't think they're going to come close to beating the Yankees or the Astros.
Okay, or the Red Sox.
I think the Red Sox are going to get beat by the Yankees.
I don't know about that. That's a tough series to call. Again, obviously this is stupid to say, but I'll say it anyway. It's like having a firm grip on the obvious. Pitching will decide that series. And the Red Sox have good pitching. Their question marks are Price in the postseason has not pitched well and Sale's health late in the year. So we'll see about that. So that'll be fun and interesting to watch. The fun part about Yankees Red Sox is that it's Thunderdome. They'll play in Fenway today. It'll be crazy. Both teams have great young players, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch. The Houston game today, Houston and Cleveland both have really, really good teams, and they both have young, talented players, so an awful lot of fun. The Dodgers closer, right, during the play-in game on Monday, right, he comes into the ninth inning, they're up, what, 5-0? He gives up back-to-back home runs to start the inning. Like, what the hell? Stop it. Yeah, he was brutal. He was brutal. All right, any big plans over the weekend?
No, just my wife heads off to Arizona on Tuesday for 5 days. So I'm home alone.
Home alone.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. Sorry to say, but it's true. And I think Beth is happy to go. She gets to go see her niece and her daughter, who's going to be 1 year old this month. So I'm very excited for that. And I'm looking forward to just hanging out. Watching all the sports on television.
Yeah, it's a great weekend. It'll be a great few days. Yeah. Today, what is there, 4 games today? It's awesome.
Oh, Jesus. It's unbelievably
cool. It is awesome.
It's the best time of the year for me.
Yeah, if you're a sports fan, like flipping between baseball and then football. So today at 11 a.m. Pacific time, Houston and Cleveland play at 1:15 p.m. Pacific time. Milwaukee and Colorado play at 4:32. The Yankees and Boston play, and then at 6:37, the Braves and the Dodgers play at Chavez Ravine. So, starting pitcher today, Corey Kluber and Jason Verlander for Cleveland and Houston. Yep. Tyler Anderson and Julius Chican for Colorado and Milwaukee. Never even heard of him. Jay Happ versus Chris Sale. Yankees versus Red Sox. Anibal Sanchez and Clayton Kershaw. Braves and Dodgers. So there you have it.
I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a great day. These playoffs are fun. And that's what we waited all this time for.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the visit and all the culinary expertise today. Have a good weekend.
You too, my brother.
All right. There you have it. The All Marine Radio Head Chef. We'll take a quick break. Get the Gunner on. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a manning officer out there or